locust in town?
This is to the side of it. A grasshopper came out of that corn. At first, I thought it was a small bird. That thing was so big. So, yeah, there are
locusts. That's not a grasshopper, that's a locust.
Yeah.
I think it was a vulture. Seriously.
That's what locusts are.
I think it carried off one of the cats in the neighborhood. It jumped to sound like a drum shot. But, no, I'm worried about my corn. Some of you know I like to garden. And we were really excited about we planted the seedlings this time because the kernels wanted to get a jump on the planting this season and not risk the locust coming through. And the corn's not doing well. Not doing well at all. I don't know what happened, honestly. But this corn, we planted this corn, and it started to grow up the way it was supposed to, and it started to shoot up, and maybe it was the weird weather. We had it hot and cold and rainy all in the wrong order, and Christmas in May. It was weird. Really weird weather for Orange County. And so this corn, it started to shoot up, and we were excited, and within about 3 weeks, it started to form ears. I don't know about you guys, but that's the first time that's happened with me planting corn. Normally, you know, they grow up and then, oh, look, it's going to get kind of fuzzy at the top. And, oh, look, there's a little ear. Not this. It's ears of corn. So my corn is now, it frustrates me every time I sit out back and read your brain. Because I go back, and the corn, I am not kidding you, there's an entire row of corn that is this tall with the fronds at the top, and it's germinating, and each stalk has one ear of corn out of the bottom. And the other row got about 6 inches taller, so it's a whopping 3 feet tall. It's just dead on. I don't know what to do with it. There's no way to reverse the process. So, you know, would you wait a little while? Just tell the corn, be patient. Because they're just this ear of corn. Now, all I can do is just wait and harvest one ear from each stalk, I suppose, out of these blunt, stunted, blighted, hopeless stalks of corn. Yeah. Low-producing corn. I guess it was just, I thought it was on the 405. I was like, it's just in a hurry. Oh, I gotta get going! Produce the corn! Like, 2 minutes out of the ground. Weird. Maybe someone sprayed it with hormones or something. I keep sitting up there thinking, what can I do to fix, and there's nothing I can do to fix this. I keep looking at it going, I want to fix you. And it's just like,
corn,
you know, knee-high corn. I think the irony of the corn is that it was in such a hurry to germinate and to grow up and to be a big corn stalk, you know, with big ears. Although no one really wants to have big ears. But these corn stalks, they wanted to have big ears, apparently, quickly. To hurry up and grow the kernels. But they did exactly the opposite. In such a hurry to produce fruit, they did it. And they thwarted themselves in the maturation process of trying to grow corn. They hurried into growing corn, and as a result, they're not going to bear hardly anything. And the ears that they are going to bear are stunted. Sad. I'm going to rip them down eventually and put something else there. Which reminds me a little bit of Jesus. I'm just... What reminds me of is the kids across the street. Kids across the street out on the corner had another interaction with them Friday night. So, periodically, I have to go address the corner. I told you before, there's a name for our corner in Santa Ana, the corner that we live on. The street name for it is El Pantano, which is the quicksand. Because the corner is the quicksand. And people go down on that corner all the time. And now I'm figuring out it's about every 18 months to 2 years, a new crop of kids get sucked into the quicksand. And so they keep trying to set up a drug cell drive-through. And it's a dead giveaway, by the way. It's a dead giveaway when one kid's on the skateboard and the other kid has a backpack. And when you arrive at a place and you've got a backpack, what do you do with a backpack?
Take it off.
You take it off. Unless you're planning to run with it. Then it stays on. And one kid handles the money. One kid gives the drugs. And so they were starting to set this up. And periodically I go over and tell them they can't give drugs. And that's always an interesting interaction. This particular time, they thought that it would be really make a statement to have about 8 of them over there. And it did. It was this big statement that said, please come over here now. And so I did. I'll tell you that story later. But I go over there, and after breaking up the party, sure enough, stashed behind the bushes, they got booze, paper bags. They're not just playing, not just innocent skate, because you can hear. When it changes. When you hear play, there's a certain kind of a tone to it when kids are playing. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear the kids out there playing. You hear them screaming all the time. Because our neighborhood is really high-density housing. So the kids are always playing and playing music and throwing each other into the street and things like that. And then there's this tone that changes in their voices. Where it goes from like, ah, to like, guilty, dirty sound to it where it's like, yeah, we have this mutual secret. And besides that, you kids don't know yet, but you can tell when someone's drunk and laughing as opposed to when someone is sober and laughing. Which, again, is a big sign that says, please come over here. I mean, yeah, look over. They're drunk. I'm breaking up their skate party and they're drunk. And they're dealing drugs, and they're middle school age. And, you know, their handlers, their managers come by frequently, and we'll stay with them, and then it gets really bad. But that's another story. But see, their handlers know that there is an irresistible urge in the number one impulse in a child is to grow up. This is a compelling thing. It's in the genes. It's when you're born, it pushes you through childhood that you want to grow up. I want to grow up. I want to grow up. I don't want to grow up. And anything that makes you feel like you're growing up is wonderfully satisfying. And any kind of trigger to say, oh, I've advanced one step is something that you will do almost without hesitation if you're a kid. And so the handlers and the more advanced drug dealers, the gangs, they know that kids want this. And so they will bait them with those things that tell the kids that they're grown up. It's not just about feeling drunk. It's about feeling like you're grown up. Feeling like you're a little more mature than the kids around you. You know, like, you have some worldly experience. Because I'm in with the gangs. And I'm drinking. And I'm doing dope. You know? I refrained. That's a good boy. I almost popped the 420 app off of his kid's head. Almost. This one. It's 420.
If you don't know, don't worry about it.
420 is the code for for marijuana possession, which then got translated into, hey, let's all do dope at 4:20 in the afternoon. So that now the pot dispensary around the corner is named 419.
That's witty.
That's the kind of humor you come up with when you're smoking dope. Okay? No one would get it. It's secret. Hey, hey, Miller, come here. You'll never get that this is really THC. Yeah, really? Just because your eyes are, you know? That, isn't it interesting to put THC in snacks? There's a cycle starting to happen, right? Oh, I got the munchie. So anyway, yeah, after 4:20, then you're advanced, and the kid's sitting there with his hip-hop lyrics as I'm walking over there. And when I was young, you know, some line about something says a quarter ounce says, when you were young, when you were young, yeah. But see, it's the self-talk. I'm no longer young. I'm sophisticated. I am worldly experienced. As quick as I can, I'm going to lose my virginity so that I can feel like I'm an adult. And it's like the corn. It wants to grow so fast that it stunts its own growth. Ironically, the gang member drug dealers in around the corner, they're 40 years old and wearing shorts with socks pulled up. You didn't grow up, dude. You got off the freeway. And you didn't get back on, ever. Now you're 45 at 14. Because it doesn't make you more mature. It just stunts your growth. And they want to pass that gift on to others, unfortunately. They're willing to exploit that urge. Premature. And I think if only you would be content to be a school child for just a little bit longer. You could grow up. But in your insistence not to be a child, you will never grow up. What a distorted, sick irony. To trap someone in immaturity and steal from them the capacity to mature and to grow and to develop by exploiting the urge to grow and to develop. And prematurely germinated. When you prematurely germinate, you don't end up like speaking with an accent or anything. Yeah, germination. Part of us. Yeah. It just right through my.
You can't help it.
I can't help it. I can't.
I gotta say something.
This little guy back way was like, say this! Say this! Yeah, anyway, I used to read the telephone going, what did you hand me?
Termination!
Where's the time?
Hey, what happened to Arnold?
Arnold? Arnold?
Re-termination?
Re-termination, yeah.
Keep drinking the coffee, I love it.
We've been talking for the last few weeks about metaphors of the church. And there's a very diffuse metaphor of the church that's intrinsic with the idea of God our Father. By the way, you have no idea that this is what the sermon was about today. And that's everything that came out of your mouth and what you did up here. This is the Holy Spirit choreography. I love that. So they go, talking about us being God's children. Totally crazy. All he can talk about is, you know what God sees when he looks at us? He sees his kids. But there is this very diffused metaphor all throughout the New Testament about that speaks to us as children of God. And there are two primary terms for this, and they have a large semantic overlap in their semantic range. In other words, the terms get used relatively interchangeably, but there is some distinction. And the two New Testament terms, the first one is technon, okay, plural is techna, and that means child. And the second word is paideon, and the plural is paideia, and that means child. So they're both used for that. But the emphasis with techna is that you are someone's offspring. So like Kimberly is my child now. She's 24. She's still my child, right? So this is, there's a certain kind of relationship there. You could be, Vice President Joe Biden just lost his child today, or yesterday. His child was 46 years old, but it's still his, that's still his boy. So that's techna. Paideia means that you're young. And there are these two aspects to being children of God, that we're his offspring and that we're young. Easiest way to remember, a paideon has a dibeon. That killed Jerry Camriotic, not me. A paideon has a dibeon. That's their little kids. You'll never forget it. These lessons are today. You would turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Not even David Letterman. We always want to know what the top 10 are. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I personally think that although they ask this many times of themselves, this is kind of a traditional Jewish question. What's the greatest commandment? And who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Are you talking Moses, Elijah, Samuel, David? Who's the greatest? Like, what's the focus here? Aaron, who's the greatest? So they're just saying, who's the greatest? And Jesus says, and calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you turn and become like Paideia, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says it's all about being one of these children. Now that's an uncomfortable thing for us because we want to be sophisticated. You know why we want to be sophisticated? Because we're children. And we want to be grown-ups. What's the very last thing a child wants? Be treated like a child. That's for younger kids. I'm 5 and a half. Right? That's for babies. Don't put me back. And we still have this now. We still are at heart children, but we're playing adults. And so we resist those things that make us into children again. those things bother us. Jesus says, you know, you want to be the greatest, you play the adult question, you really need to get in touch with this kid thing. Otherwise, you really can't go into the kingdom of heaven. Look over at 1 John 3. Listen to these two aspects of being offspring and being young. John 3. Big section. Oh, sorry, 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Page 2432. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Do you hear both of these aspects? We're derivative, we are offspring of God, and at the same time, we're longing to find out who we are. Little kids saying all the time, gee, I wonder what I'm going to be when I grow up. Am I going to be big and tall? My dad always told us we were going to be tall. Come on, the man was 5'8" and his wife was 5'2", and he told his sons that they were going to be tall. This morning I was shaving, going, you know, honey, it bothers me that I have to shave every day, and I still can't grow a mustache or a beard. That is not fair, is it, Roman? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless the American Indians and all of our great pasts, you know. Around about 43 years old, I'm like, I'm not going to grow a beard. It's not. I kept waiting for a mustache. Just looked like an angry middle schooler. You know, like, it doesn't happen. Give it up, brother.
No, I can't do it. Dude, it's like 2 months. I'm dead serious. I haven't shaved my face in like 2 months.
You were like, just wash.
They told me if I shave a bunch today, it would come in thicker.
Liars.
I know.
Liars.
God will smite them with purple lightning.
That's it. Purple lightning. See, but the kid wasn't, yeah. Oh, my God. Very nice and a big handlebar. Never. Am I going to, what am I going to be? What, yeah, when I, who am I? Girls. I have a figure. You know, and then, like, you want to go to the beach? You're 15. We know why you want to. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. since his lawlessness, you know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. The Bible does say that the apple shouldn't fall far from the tree. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. It's a very simple thing. I think I can practice unrighteousness and still do God. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. That's a pretty tautological statement. I mean, it's just by definition. A lot of times we think, I can be righteous and not be acting righteously. No. He who practices, sit down. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Can you say that with me? Righteous is righteous. Unrighteous is unrighteous. Little children, don't. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
But we're sophisticated and past that now, because we're grown up. And we have come to understanding that it doesn't matter if you're unrighteous, you're still righteous.
Now, you just messed up. Go back to the simple lessons. He who practices righteousness is righteous. But see, we long to be sophisticated. We long to be mature. We're erudite now.
We've taken philosophy classes.
Giving back someone else needs them. Thank you. Go over to 1 Peter. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. All those things that are in grown-up drama films. Just think. All the things that drive grown-up drama are the things you're not supposed to have. Malice and slander and envy and bitterness and deceit and conniving. All those grown-up things, stay away from them. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Okay, I'm not going to explore that theologically. You can stress about that yourself. That by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. There should be a longing to be growing up into salvation. And in that process, we should be longing for that kind of instruction. We should be craving that input that allows us to put these things away, if indeed we've tasted it. Look earlier at 1 Peter 1, 14. As we start at verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As, what?
Obedient
children. Don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct. Since it's written, you should be holy, for I am holy. See that mirroring again? That's how it's... Our neighbors brought home a brand new baby yesterday. It was so cool. His name's Wyatt. Wyatt Charles. What's your middle name?
Edmund.
Yeah. Well, this one's Wyatt Charles. Good name. Brand new baby. And, you know, babies just kind of see blobs. They don't have good eyesight. Just kind of blurs. But this infant was already mirroring off his daddy. Mm-hmm. He smiles at the baby. The baby doesn't know it's smiling.
Wow.
It's just like... And that is it. Just those mirroring neurons. Just copying. And the Lord says, you should be... You ever seen... Look, like the older drug dealers. There's this mirroring thing, and the Lord says, I, your Father, am holy. Is your instinct to mirror that? Because you should be mirroring that. From the moment you're born, you should be mirroring that. Be holy, for I am holy. As obedient children. How does that title sit with us? Obedient children. You would just say with me, obey. Obey. Isn't that a fun word? It rolls up. Obey. How does it feel? Let's talk about obeying the Lord. What if we introduce a series? For the next 6 months, we're going to talk about obedience. Yeah, so we would have church. I want to come back when you're talking about good form.
Freedom.
Freedom and health and creativity, right? And creative expression and individualism. Let's talk about obedience. I'm busy. As obedient children, there's injury insult, right? Obedient children. You see what I mean? Compliance. Isn't that a fun? Compliance. There we go. You feel how it is? No, I want to be an independent adult grown up. And the Lord says that's not really anybody that I have in my kingdom. I don't have grown ups in my kingdom that are independent adults. I have obedient children in my family. Because my family has obedient children in it. Would you like to be an obedient child, he says? If so, you can be in my family, but I don't have disobedient children in my family. Can we get another scripture here somewhere? Sure. Let's go over to Hebrews 12. Why not? Isn't that fun? Hebrews 12. Hebrews coffee in the morning.
Jay's favorite book. Hebrews. Sure he does.
Hebrews 12, look at verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. We could just meditate on that for a while. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I mean, our resistance to sin takes about... See, do I want to sin? Not really, but it really is feeling. Okay, I'll sin. He says, in your resistance to sin, you have not yet resisted to the shedding of your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children or as sons? My son, do not lightly regard the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. Don't we get weary when the Lord reproves us? Don't talk to me that way, Lord. Well, that was a funny sentence. You're yelling at me.
Maybe because you're yelling at me right now.
You don't need to yell at me.
Well, you don't listen when I just talk to you.
Well, yes, I listen.
But you don't obey.
See, you're yelling at me again. My son, do not regard lightly. Son of Irish. Regard. Sure, you didn't. Don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. See, the lure of wanting to go
pretty good corner up by the bushes is no rules, man. We're adults, we don't have any rules. No rules, we're just gonna break the rules. Hate the rules, because we're gonna be grown ups.
Yeah, they still hide.
Yeah, they still hide. Still hide.
And you're telling me the guy who passed you the 40s doesn't have rules for you. No rule over you. But it's that lure of, if I don't have rules, I can break the rules. I'm mature. No, you're just a disobedient child. Because it's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there when his father doesn't discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children. You can read the right term there. You're illegitimate children. And not sons. Besides this, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we responded to them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak. Does that sound like a kid? Mm-hmm. And told what to do. Weak knees, drooping hands. Okay. I'll go do what you want me to do.
Like they become ragdolls.
They become ragdolls, yeah. Like, I'm sorry, I have no choice.
Yeah.
I'm just done. Oh, great burden. To clean up that which I have messed. You are so cruel to me to make me clean up my mess. Did you make a mess? You're yelling at me again.
Why are you so mean?
I just want you to grow warped. That's why I'm so mean. I just did have children only to have slaves. Come on. Lift up the hands, strengthen the knees, so that that which is lame may be healed and not turned out of the way. Yes, sometimes the way you talk to kids is, suck it up, straighten up, get on with it. And sometimes that's what the Lord says to us. Come on, suck it up, straighten up, flat eye, pull it together. Because you start crying about everything when you're an infant. And you've got to engage that impulse to mature. But you don't skip over the process to the end. You go through the process. Turn over to Matthew 6. Verse 7. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles. They think they'll be heard for their many words. If I just bug you enough with the words, will you give it to me? Can I have a donut hole now? Can I have a donut now? Can I have another donut? Can I have three donuts? Can I have five donuts? Can I have a donut now? Can I have another donut? One more can I have a donut, and you will never have a donut. Don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. Don't be like them. Well, is that what you want to say to a kid? For your Father knows what you need whole. He knows what you really need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's what being a kid's all about. It's about being humble. It's about being compliant. It's about being adaptive. There's a whole bunch of parts of being a kid we could parallel to get good sermon material. But the heart of it is, it's about being immature. We're young and we're derivative, and we need not to be full of ourselves. That's the big deal. Don't be full of yourself. Don't think that you got your sophisticated theology all together. No. Be holy, be simple, be pure, be trying to grow up in the Lord, be craving growing up in the Lord. If you don't find in yourself an irresistible urge to be growing up in the Lord, question something there. You may have become stunted. He wants us to be little kids wanting to grow up and not bypassing the process. I wonder if the Lord worries about us like I worry about my corn. Just looking at us going, you're just so stupid. You want to be so sophisticated, and if you could just regress a little bit, if you'd back yourself up, not try to be so mature and together, you can hurt. You know, he was talking to Nicodemus about this.
He says, you know, we know that you're a teacher come from God because nobody can do these miracles that you do unless he's from God.
Jesus just interrupts him because, you know, you got to be born again. Not born again, you can't.
And Nicodemus says, oh, how are you going to do that? Well, can somebody climb back up into his mother's, internal organ? Koileon is the term. Climb back up there? How can you be born again?
Jesus, look. That was just born of the flesh is flesh. That was just born of the spirit is spirit. Don't be confused or marvel not. They said, you must be born again. Are you the teacher of Israel? You don't know these things?
He just goes, well, you know, the Philistine. How can these things be?
Jesus can regress you. Can back you up to being a child. Back you up. Make you a child again. And grow up the right way. He says in the Revelation, behold, I make all things new. And take care of a premature God. That exposure to things that you thought were mature that were really just corrupting. That made you jaded, over-experienced, cynical, and despairing. It can back you up to a place of joy. Lord, we new birth,
new renewal.
Thank you that you will birth us again and again and again. Deliver us all from our sophistications. Pray that you would restore naivete and innocence, humility, adaptivity, and pliancy to each person who needs that. Refresh us, O Lord. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord cause his face to shine on you. May the Lord renew you. May the Lord wash you. May the Lord make you a little child. May the Lord grant you freedom, innocence, beauty, restoration. And you know his life. God's people said,